3. This one, if you would like to, if not, that's fine, but if you'd like to, let's stand up as we sing this one. Such a beautiful praise song. Seated. Good morning. And happy Mother's Day to all our moms and grandmas and ladies here today. Should we give them all a hand? I think we should. Amen. Today is your special day, and we thank God for you always and the part that you have in each of our lives. God bless you. Some announcements here as we go on, before we go on with the service. This bouquet of flowers here on my immediate left with carnations and roses in there, that's for our graduates in honor of them. So if you're an eighth grader here today, you get one of the carnations. We'll have to have someone take this out in the social hall after church. Eighth graders get the carnations, high schoolers, college graduates get a rose. Now, if we missed a college graduate, you're going to have to let me know when we come to the joys and concerns part. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of who all the college graduates are. So sorry if we missed your name. A couple other announcements here in the bulletin. The Women of the Church Salad Supper, that's coming up in about a week and a half. You see it in the bulletins, and there's a sign-up sheet there. Please, if you're coming, your name, if you're bringing some guests, which you are certainly welcome to do, put the number of guests so the ladies have an idea of how many to plan for. Men, if your wives are coming and you want to be here, we need some help washing dishes. Plus, you get to eat the salads too, so there is a benefit to it. A vacation Bible school coming right up. There's a list of snack items needed against the west wall and the social hall. There's a lot of, at least there was before church, a lot of empty lines. So take a look at that. Try to remember today. Let's get that all filled up for the snacks for each night. I want to say what's not in the bulletin, one thing, the 4-0s, ladies, they're going to meet this Wednesday afternoon here in the social hall at 1 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet for that as well if you're planning to come. Just two things that I have that are not in the bulletin. First of all, this is starting today through this week is National Nursing Home Week. So I have something to read on. This is on behalf of the Board of Directors for our Menno Olivet Care Center. It says, May 9 through the 15 is National Nursing Home Week. The theme for this week this year is Together Through the Seasons. The theme will honor the collaborative commitment of skilled nursing care facilities and their staff in providing compassionate care to their residents during this unprecedented time. We would like to thank the staff of our local nursing home for their exemplary care it provides. Amen. Now, I'm not sure how many care center workers we have here, but we have some, so why don't you stand up quick, please, if you work at our care center. Oh, no, someone, come on, Hannah, now back there. I know you are. Yep, okay. Yes, some of the high schoolers. God bless you all. Thank you very much. I wanted to read just another quick thank you note. This is from our conference minister. This, you see, we had that offering last Sunday. This is really for our giving in 2020. Reverend Ron Hamilton, he wrote this and says, "Dear friends at Salem Reformed, thank you for your faithful support for the ministry of the Four Seas in the past year. You were a part of making 2020 a record year of giving to the conference. We joined together to live in obedience to Jesus as we love God, love others, and as we go, make disciples. Our ministry is expanding and new people are getting involved in our work. We are thrilled to have your church as an active partner in our kingdom endeavors. I'm praying for you, especially as Pastor Mike leads you past the restrictions of the pandemic." Well, thankfully, we've been doing well for a long time on that. "In Christ, Ron Hamilton, Conference Minister." So I just wanted to read that as well. The rest of the announcements, you please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. A glorious day, certainly Mother's Day, and that's exciting in and of itself. And we do thank you for each of our mothers, our grandmothers, for the women that are all a part of this congregation, and the special gift that you have put within them as women and as mothers. Bless them, Lord, we pray, in an extra special way on this day for all of their sacrifices above and beyond. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in this sanctuary, that we can come into this place and experience your presence in a mighty way. For Lord, you said in your word, wherever two or more of us are gathered in your name, that you are there in our midst. And Father, truly, there is no other place we would rather be than right here, right now, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping you, Almighty God, with all of our hearts. And so we do. We worship you, Jesus, as you are the God of angel armies, and you stand beside us, and you go before us, and you are the one who reigns forever, and you are our friend. You said that in your word, Jesus. What a privilege to live in Christ. So we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing number 128, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. 128.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas above and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes a glorious home. And clouds arise and tempest roar, but order of thy throne. All that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And
well, before you're seated, you greet each other with however you're comfortable, please. Don't let me forget those. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns, and it's exciting to see all our little ones up here today, ready to sing in a little bit. Yes, Trent.
It's my mom's birthday today.
Today is Julie Crick's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Yes. Your brother, Bo's. Is today your birthday, Bo? How old are you? 5 years old, Bo Guthmiller. We got a lot of birthdays today. Since we're on that, Calvin Hagee's birthday is today, his 93rd birthday. Amen. Nice to have his daughter Nancy here and her son. I forget your first name.
Alexander.
God bless you. So since we're on the list, I know Jay Herbold's birthday is today. Carl Zabe is today. Devin Bent. Not sure if Devin's here or not. Austin Pillsbury. He's somewhere back there. Yep. Big 17. And Bo and Julie. This is our biggest birthday day of the year within the church. So happy birthday to all of you. Okay, some other things I have written down here. Prayers for, Jim and Deb Christensen. First, Deb had surgery this last week. It went well. She is home recovering. But she had called me last night and asked for prayers for Jim's nephew. I think Jim's brother, Bob. I think they live in Viberg. This would be their son, Eric, who's about 51. He's a teacher in Alamosa, Colorado. And he came down with COVID and is actually in the hospital in Colorado Springs there, having a tough time. So we want to pray for Eric Christensen. Also, Phyllis Whale. She had to go back into McKinnon Hospital midweek this week. She's been taking chemo for her cancer. They had to stop that. There's some type of infection in her spine, so they're doing an MRI, supposed to be doing that this morning, so be praying for Phyllis. Milo Hauk, he got to come home this last Wednesday afternoon and is doing okay, we'll just say it that way. He has had a pretty good day yesterday at home, so be praying for him. And continued prayers for Frieda Nuss and Marge Seiler. That's Ann Ramos' mom. She got to come home yesterday, or at least to her daughter's other daughter, right? Yeah. So, okay. I think that's all I have for right now. Anyway, anything else over here? Yes, Joanna. Your mom is going to have a baby. Yes, she is. Wait, is that this fall sometime?
October.
Yeah, you tell her congratulations. Mandy Herbold is going to have a baby in October. Okay, let me come this side and then I'll come back that way. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Steve?
Just give thanks for the rain we received and prayers for it to continue.
Amen, amen. Yes, thanks for the rain yesterday and prayers for it to continue. That, I'm sure, soaked up just that fast. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Okay. Tanya is saying happy birthday to her twin sister, Michelle Fisher, on May 19th. So happy birthday to you, too. And Hannah got this Build South Dakota scholarship, which for nursing, which, and she's, once she's done, with school, I'm really ringing for some reason. Once she got done with school, then she's committed to, I think, 3 years of nursing at the Menno Olivet Care Center. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. We need the nurses. So anybody else over here? Okay, then Sandy. Oh, good. Okay. On Friday, she did, or? Okay, good. Nikki Weber graduated from Mitchell Votech in nursing and LPN this last Friday. Tell her congratulations. Sorry we missed that, but thank you for sharing. Okay, anybody else over here? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord God, thank you. Lord, so many birthdays right around this time, and we thank you for each and every one of them. Wonderful people, and they bring great joy to our lives. Thank you for blessing them, giving them strength, Lord, for each new day that you give. We thank you for the scholarship that Hannah Fisher is receiving. What a wonderful scholarship towards nursing. And also Nikki Weber with her LPN nursing degree. We thank you for these and all of our other graduates. college graduates that are listed. We ask your blessing upon them. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up this young man, Eric Christensen, out there in Colorado Springs, where he's in the hospital, having a tough battle with the COVID virus. We pray for your healing touch to his body through this time. We ask for the wisdom to the doctors and those treating him, and we pray that you give strength to his body by your supernatural power to fight this thing off and come through it, Lord, as well as the many others around the nation. And certainly we think of the country of India and the struggles they're having right now. We pray for them over there and pray that this could subside in that land amongst those people. We pray for Deb Christensen and thank you for her recovery from her recent surgery. We want to lift up Phyllis Whale, Lord, as she's up there in McKinnon Hospital and seems to be having a big struggle going on right now. But we ask your, again, Jesus, your ministry of healing and health and wholeness throughout her being. Father, we thank you that Milo was able to come home midweek, and we just can pray, continue to pray strength to him and wholeness in the challenges that he's having physically. Lord, for Frida, we lift her up and thank you for your peace and your presence with her during this time as she is at home in hospice care, and for all those that help with her care that she can be there. Lord, thank you for Marge Seiler, that she was able to come home, and we pray for strength to her. For Les and Kathy Melhoff, for Terry Seiler, Lord, there's many listed in our bulletin. We thank you that Lee and Pat Palmerville can be back with us today after some difficult health struggles. For all of these, we lift up to you, and thank you for each of them. Lord, certainly for the beautiful rain that you brought yesterday, we pray that that's something, as we say, to prime the pump with more to follow. Lord, this is your world, your creation, and you know the moisture that it needs for the pastures, for the plants, the trees, the crops, the livestock, every part of your creation so desperately needs it. And we trust you for the right amounts at the right time. Father, thank you for our troops. We pray for them day in and day out, asking that you guard and protect them here at home and around the world. We pray for our healthcare workers. Certainly, as this is the National Nursing Home Week, we think of our caregivers in the full care centers and assisted living and the sacrifices they make as those that work in the hospitals and the clinics and through this time. We thank you for our first responders here in Menno, our ambulance crew and our firemen and that serve so faithfully, our policemen, Lord, that work so hard. We appreciate them and let them be honored as they should be, Lord, across this nation. We thank you for all of these things. And Lord, as always, we pray for our nation, asking you for a healing of this land, asking that our hearts, the hearts of this nation, would turn once again to you and your word and the principles that you have laid out in your word. We thank you for all of these things, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to have our seniors come up quickly, please, our high school seniors. We have these little New Testaments. They can just fit right in the shirt pocket. And they're given by a couple from our church each year to you. So normally we've done this more like on our vacation Bible school program, but so many of these young people are already well on their way to the next adventures of their life, so we miss them. So we thought we would try it on Mother's Day, and it looks like we did pretty good, didn't we? I would say so. So this is Andrea Walsh right here, and she actually goes to school in Freeman, but has been a part of our high school Sunday school and youth group for, I don't know, 3 years, I suppose, something around there. And then Paige Dyke is next, and Logan Schmidt, and Adrian Nuss, and Caden Fisher, Weston Fryer, and Hannah Fisher. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Got them all? We do. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to have a prayer for you guys in a moment. This, as you take and girls, the next step in your life. This is a big accomplishment, and we are proud of you all, and we pray for you, and we will continue to pray for you as a congregation. You should all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You learned that in your confirmation years. I won't make you say it. I will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I think, yeah, there's a confirmation picture. Look at them. Aren't they cute? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, how you've grown up. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these seniors here. What a joy it's been to watch them most of their years growing up, just growing into such fine young adults. And here they are graduating from high school this coming Saturday. We ask your blessing upon them. We ask for your favor upon them. And we ask, Father, for you to guide and direct their every step. They have in their hearts and in their minds a certain direction. I know that they think they're going, but I know they're seeking you as well. And you will make their paths straight as your word promises. So thank you for protecting them. And thank you for the joy that they bring to each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a hand, and I'll get you a little New Testament here. Then you can go sit down. There you go. Thank you. Logan, hey, we got these. Hannah. Yeah, thank you, Weston. And this must be yours. It's supposed to be. All right. Amen. Oh, I guess I moved. Did I move that microphone stand, or did I just turn it? Move it this way? Sorry. See, when I talk and do something at the same time, it doesn't work very well. Okay, but I do have to read a verse for the offering time. As you know, the box is in the back there. Romans 8, verse 32 says, he, this is God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And so he does. Let's stand together and we'll sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And Father, we do thank you. For certainly you have graciously given us so many things in your abundance. It seems so inadequate to say thank you with our words, but we do say thank you. And more than that, we say thank you with our lives as we live each day for you, as you fill us with your Spirit and give us the strength to live for you and to shine for you, Jesus, as your ambassadors on this earth. So with these offerings and tithes we bring into this storehouse, we ask your blessing upon them, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, we are going to be blessed to have our cherub choir sing for us today. These are 3-year-olds up through third grade, so if they want to come. Do I got the microphone okay, Scott? No. Can sit down, yeah. We're going to have the Kingdom Kids time. If there's any others that kids that want to come up, you sure can. Good job, boys and girls. That
I don't. Great. I can just do it standing up.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning.
Thanks, Ann and Deb, yes, for being working with the kids all through the year. We love it when they sing.
Wow, that was wonderful. Yeah. Any more kids want to come up? Come on. Okay, so what did we say today? What is?
Mother's Day.
Oh, that's not very strong. What is today?
Mother's Day.
How should we treat Mom?
Make some pies.
Make some pies. Good. And somebody said treat her good. How do we know that we're supposed to treat her good? Where do we find it out? Because what? Because it's Mother's Day? It's in the Bible. That's right. It's in the Bible how we're supposed to act. And do you know, boys and girls, one of the Ten Commandments talks about how we're to treat our moms and our dads. Did you know that?
No.
No? No? Well, now you do. It is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So God tells us, boys and girls, to honor our mom and dad. So here I brought mom with us today. We're going to show what happens to mom when we don't honor her. Say hi, mom. See my mom? This is mom, all right? This is mom. Mom is right there. She's with us. And sometimes, though, we're going to see what happens to mom when we kind of don't do the things or we don't honor her. Like, let's see what happens to her. Like when she makes our food and we don't even say thank you. And do you know how much mom makes food? Like, how often does mom make food? Like, all the time, right? Every day, right? And she drives us everywhere. She drives us to our sports events and to school events and to our friend's house. And sometimes we don't even tell her goodbye. We just think, you know, that's what she's supposed to do. And then she reminds us to do our homework because she wants us to get good grades in school. And you know how we act? We roll our eyes. We got to do it again. That's what we do, mom. And then she even cleans the toilets. Did you know that? You thought somebody else did it, right? Yeah, well, guess who usually does it? Okay, well, then she cleans others' toilets, too. That is pretty amazing. Yeah, we just think they somehow get cleaned on their own, right? And like your bedrooms sometimes. Did your moms clean your bedrooms? Do they?
No.
No? Yes? Sometimes? Well, all of these things mom does, and we forget to even thank her. And then there's times when our little pet fish dies, right? And mom even takes our little fish out into the yard and digs a hole, and she has a casket and a funeral. But we're just so upset that we lost our little fish that we don't even know that she's trying to make us feel better, right? Does mom hug us and kiss us and just lets us know that we're doing great? You know, our moms sometimes are our biggest fans, but we forget to treat her. We forget to honor her. She does all kind of things, washes our clothes and makes us look good and, you know, is there for us, right? And sometimes we forget that and we don't let her know that. And, you know, mom can take a lot of load. God has built us moms to do a lot of these things, but my gosh, do you see mom? What happened to her? She's smashed. Oh, my gosh. How can we help mom? What are some things we can do? By how? How are we going to get this load off? You can cook for her. Help her. Do the laundry. You guys take notes. Okay. Yes. Go ahead. You can do the dishes, and especially with a good attitude. None of these rolling eye things. Get the dad to clean the toilet. Sorry, guys. Your Father's Day is coming. What? Do your laundry. And how about with a good attitude? You know, sometimes that's mom what she's looking for. What else? Vacuum for us and not be in have a sassy attitude. You can clean your rooms and be happy about it, right? Not complain. Cook mac and cheese. How about be nice to each other? And these things all help our mom, but oh my gosh, sometimes the load is so heavy that we're just like feeling smashed. But you know what? And moms, you know what? Moms, we need to get our strength from who? God, we do. We read our Bible. We ask him to help us, and he helps us. But he also gives us our children that can help us. And I'm trying to make mom back up again, but her makeup's a little bit smeared now. So she's not quite looking the same. But we can do that as boys and girls. We can honor our moms and our dads. And we can pray for them. We can say thank you. We can forget about our sassiness when we're talking. We can do all these things. And you know what? Moms, we love to be moms. Right, moms? We love being moms. And we love you boys and girls. All right? Let's do our best and honor our moms and our dads by respecting them, by saying thank you, by loving them, and letting them know that we love them so much, okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us our moms. And even if our moms are not here today, they're in heaven. We remember all the wonderful things that they did for us. Thank you as boys and girls that we remember our moms today. And we remember what you've told us to do in your word, to honor them, and to respect them, and to love them, and to be kind to them, and to listen to them, and all these things. And you tell us that you will bless us for doing that. Just help us, boys and girls, love on our moms today and our dads, and bless them this week. Wherever they go, whatever they do, let them share your light, Jesus, and tell others about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our papers are right over here.
She doesn't even look like a mom anymore.
I know. She's pretty loaded down, isn't she?
Okay. I got a master.
Yeah, she...
Okay, thank you, Anne. That was cute, although I think the dead goldfish probably gets taken care of when the toilet gets cleaned. But anyway, oh my, telling secrets, yes, you're correct. All right, we love our little ones. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we do. We love our little ones. We thank you for the joy they bring to our lives, the spontaneity of the answers and the things they say that make us chuckle. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you all the more for your word, the very living word of God. You instruct us, you guide us through every part of our lives. And so even today as we look into it, help us to learn, help us to be doers of your word. I ask, Father, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. So from Ephesians 5, verse 22, now you might think you're at a wedding this morning, because this is one of the main wedding texts. So, but we can learn from it, all of us. We can. You'll see what I have in mind as we go through this. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen. So, ladies, just to settle your hearts right now, I'm focusing more on the husbands, okay? Sorry, guys. No, it's good. The best Mother's Day gift, really. We all, I don't know about you, men, but for me, it's like, what am I supposed to get her? Many years, she gets her own gift and tells me, I got my Mother's Day gift. I'm like, that's good. That's good. On occasion, I do surprise her like I did this year with a little cross pendant deal. So, yeah. But beyond those gifts, the best gift we can give to our wives, is who I'm talking about more so, is to be the man God wants us to be. To be the husband God wants us to be the father God wants us to be. And God gives us instruction there in this. There's a song. Now, I didn't, a lot of years around this time, now I haven't heard it because I haven't been on the radio that much, but you'll hear this song called Lead Me by Sanctus Real. It's a more of a contemporary Christian song. A lot of you know it, right? I think it was several years back we had Jay sing that actually on Mother's Day once. And I personally, when I hear that song, I am always very convicted because I feel in many ways that I fail in what that song is singing. And I looked up actually the history of the guy that wrote that song. His name is Matt Hammett. And he says there was a time where his mother came to him and said to him, I need you to be a better spiritual leader to me and our family. Now that can be like, oh, if you get that said to you, right? I think we all struggle. Maybe some of you don't, but even as pastor, I struggle with that. I honestly do, with the time and how am I dividing things in my life? Where's that line between pastoring the congregation and having time for my family at home and whatever your job is? Especially this time of year with planting, if you're farmers and the full speed craziness of it, you know. And he said, when she said that to me, that sort of rocked his world. They had two girls, they were expecting their third child. Matt said this, first, I was humbled that she had the courage to ask me this in love. That's a key point right there, in love. Instead of just, why don't you be a better leader, rah, 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 you know, that's not going to go over too well, because right away the defense goes up, doesn't it? No, in love, he said. Secondly, he realized he had to do something about it, and in that, he was inspired to write that song. Maybe listen to it this afternoon if you haven't heard it for a while. Again, it's called Lead Me, and in this song, he says, this is a prayer. In a father's prayer for his wife and family, and he said, I'm crying out to God, Lord, a second, if I'm going to lead my family, I'm going to need you to lead me. And to that, I say a big amen. Because in myself, I cannot do it. So in this passage, though, So what is our love supposed to look like for our wife? Now, I have a little more time today to go into this than I do typically on a wedding ceremony, which is everything moves along pretty quick in that setting. But four times we are told to love our wives in these nine verses. Four times. Now, you might say, well, aren't you going to talk about those first two verses, Pastor Mike? Look, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is head of the church. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Very true. Very true. But what I'm going to say is, if we're leading as God intended us to lead, the sort of natural response is those first two verses happen. She does submit to our leadership as men in the home, as the husband of the home, rather than the man saying, you gotta submit to me, the Bible says so. I had a guy at our Timberlake church, and I think most of the time he would do this in teasing me, but on several occasions, I can't think of the specific example that happened, but he would say to me, "Well, Mike, at least I wear the pants in my family." And I'd just smile at him. "At least I wear the pants in my family." Well, the phrase could be now, I've heard since. Well, you might wear the pants or you might be the head, but guess what? Your wife is the neck that turns the head, right? Maybe you've heard that. No, he would just say that out. Well, the sad part of it is within a couple of years, his wife left with their two children. Because that attitude just, that's not how God intends it to be. What does he intend? There's four characteristics here, really, of the God kind of love in the home that as men we try to exhibit. And again, this is not meant to be condemning in any way. I struggle in a lot of these areas as well. But number one, it's to be a sacrificial love. Our love as men in our homes, it's to be a sacrificial love. Verse 25, what did he say? Husbands, here's your first one. Love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Whew, that's a pretty tall order, because Jesus is perfect and we are far from perfect, aren't we? Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. For the church. He's to be our example, and he is that perfect example. Even when we were totally unlovable, I'm talking about in with our salvation now, our spiritual lives, when we were totally unlovable, what does God's word say? Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of love we are supposed to have, we try to have for our wives. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? He demonstrated. How about Romans 5:6, another one? You see at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It's a sacrificial love, and it goes both ways. Yes, it comes to the wife, to the husband, the sacrifices. Ann talked about the load there this morning, piled on. That was a good illustration, wasn't it? There has to be sacrifices. Now, I think in generations gone by, it was very common where, you know, of course, the wives were working in the home more, but they were working hard in the home too all day long. And the man would work hard outside all day long too. And he often would sort of come in and sit down and, can you bring me a cup of this or a cup of that or this or that? And just sort of expect to be waited on like that. Well, you know, now we're living in a different era. There are some ladies that get to be home. Praise the Lord for that. It's wonderful if you can. But most of the time, we are both working full time. And it takes both to do the affairs, helping, sacrificing for each other. And oftentimes, as men, we're working full speed ahead, 100 miles an hour, and we have the attitude, and we do need to support our families, and we do need to work hard. But maybe when our wives ask us to do something, our response can tend to be, "I am working so hard, can you not see that?" And she does see it. Some of the time, though, not some of the time, a lot of times, she just wants our time. Our time. I've been told that more than once. I don't mean that as a slam. I'm just saying how it is. How it is. It's a sacrificial love. Usually those statements are like, "Ooh, wake up call. Okay, Mike, come on. Get back in line here." Second, it's a purifying love. It is. Verse 26. Let me read 25 again. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me see, say something back to that first point again. Yeah, Jesus went to the cross for us, didn't he? When we did nothing to deserve it. What's he doing today for us right now? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession. He prays for us. Always. Okay, if we're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church, guys, then that means we need to be praying for our wives. That's what that means in that sacrificial part. Go on to this second. It's a purifying love. What? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So in this, we got the comparison going of a husband and wife to Christ and his church. Because guess what? As his church, we are the bride of Christ. And someday, we're going to get to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, which is going to be glorious beyond what we could ever imagine. So you got both things going here. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. What? To present her to himself. So this is the church. To present us to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. All right, God the Father, in his mercy, he is patient with us by his Spirit. He is always working in us as his children, drawing us closer to him, in deeper relationship with him, trying to work those things out of our lives that shouldn't be and build those things in our life, the fruit of the Spirit that should be. That is a lifelong process, isn't it? Because we are his bride. Even though we're saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, we are not perfect. The flesh rises up still. So let's come on the natural side. The bride. Wow, I've said this probably at weddings before since our daughter got married, but I learned a lot. That's coming on 4 years ago. I learned a whole lot in that year leading up to our daughter's wedding that I was a little ignorant of before. Oh, the hair. Oh, I got to go to Sioux Falls. Well, why? Well, I have to have my practice hair appointment for the wedding day. I'm like, oh, you have practice hair appointments? I never knew that. I thought you just went that day and got your hair done up. Well, years ago, that's probably how it was. And not that, I don't know how every bride does it today, but my daughter bride did it this way. No, you got to have a trial run, Dad. And I'm, okay. Well, then it was another trip to Sioux Falls for, well, we got to have a trial run for the makeup. Okay. All right. And all that goes into it. And the dress, of course, right? Well, that part I knew. You got to have this fitting and that fitting and take this in and that out and see if it works and how many fittings. All the work that goes in to make that bride as beautiful as she is, as beautiful as all of you that I've been privileged to do your weddings are. And down you come. What? Radiant, right? We all stand for you. Here comes the bride. And the dad's trying not to have tears, right? And there she comes. And the guys, yeah, we get off easy. Pretty easy, I would say, in all of this. But this is what, that's purifying love. Okay, what's that have to do then with marriage? Well, it has a lot to do with marriage because we need to love our wives in a way that helps them to grow and develop and shine as God made them so that their gifts come shining out to bless us and our family, and all that are around. Because what is Jesus trying to do always in us as the bride of Christ? He does the same thing. He's always working by his Spirit to bring out the best in our lives. So, it's a purifying love. So back to that prayer part. Jesus is praying for us. We should be praying for our wives. We should be praying with our wives. And again, any of you that I have married over these 17 years, you know that's what we talk about. One of the things, of course. why it can be difficult. It shouldn't have to be. You're married. You know each other intimately. Some just can be difficult to get that going. I'm talking about more than just praying over your meal. I'm talking about sitting together and praying. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't now matter how many years. Maybe there's some that have been married 50 years here that need to start praying together. I don't know. But it's such a blessing. Because guess what? If you're upset with each other, happens, even to the pastor and his wife at times. It's pretty hard to stay upset with each other if you're going to sit down on the couch and hold hands and pray together, because that just doesn't work very well. Oh, I'm mad, but okay. Well, I don't do that, just so you know. Anne doesn't do it either. But if you're in the attitude of prayer at all, that's going to have to change pretty quick, right? So if it takes to get into that, even I was in the full-time ministry when we got married. We did pray together some as we were dating, as when we got married and then living together after the wedding. Then we thought, well, this is going to be easy to start this. You know what? It wasn't. It wasn't. And I was full-time in the ministry. I pray with people all the time. It was like, okay, when are we going to do this? That's one. You got to talk about that. When would you do this? Well, we're going to try in the mornings. That at that time seemed to work. So guess what, men? We got our boxes, right? We know that, what we're in. Start of the day, boy, I'm in this box, and that was where I'm going. And I'm out the door before I ever have a thought of that we were supposed to pray together. So she would gently remind me on occasion, hey, are we going to pray together? Oh, yes, let's do it. Okay, so we do. Then we'd get on that track for a few days. Then I'm in my other box, and she lets it go for, I don't know, a month or whatever. Ah, okay, she never nagged me about it. I want you to know that. Finally, I said, look, I absolutely want to do this. If you are thinking of it, just say so. Just say so. It took a time to get into that routine and that habit, but it's such a blessing to do that. Okay, let's go on to the third one. It is a caring love. Verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives. There's our second time where we're told that. As their own bodies. He who loves his wife, there's your third one, loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. Oh yeah, we do. Just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. It is a caring love. And so we consider our wives. Boy, when, you know, men, I don't know if any of us would admit to this. I don't think I would. We're tended to be thought of as big babies when we get sick. So I don't know if you fall into that or not. But we want to be cared for, don't we? Yeah, in the same way that we care for our own needs, so we have to think about the needs of our wives. And again, and I'm very guilty. I get in the focus of the church and the congregation and the needs, which are many, many, as you know, and I can neglect my own wife and her needs. So we have to be reminded of that. Why? Because we're one flesh. We are one together. When her needs are met, guess what? Then my needs are met. When I'm caring for her needs, then she's blessed. And that helps the home. Yeah, and that's how Jesus does for us. And as Proverbs says, the man who finds a wife finds a what? Thank you, wherever that came from. The man who finds a wife finds a what?
Treasure.
A treasure. So I, at least in my cards, I didn't in today's Mother's Day card, but I try to find something in that card with that phrase, "You are my treasure, dear." Yes. No one hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Ladies, but you have to realize, we cannot meet all of your needs. We can't. Only God can. And that's who you need to look for, number one, as your source. Because if you think that we can meet all your needs, and you might think that when you married us, the knight in shining armor that we were, depending on how long you've been married, still are, we can't. We can't. We've all heard the jokes about the book, everything you wanted to know about women, and you open it up and it's blank, or however that one goes. You know, that just when we think we've got our wives figured out, we realize we don't, right? Boy, that went good. Okay, probably didn't want to get an elbow in your side if you said amen to that, I guess. We don't want any broken ribs here today. No, but we can't. We can't. And wives, yes, you have to pray for us just the same. And one more point we got here. We have to, I'll get to it in a second. We have to be told more than once about things. Those of you that have been to the Laugh Your Way to the Better Marriage seminar that we've done here different times over the years, you know the story, that man, he's a minister and he does these conferences around the country, and he tells about how afterwards these women will come up to him, "Can I talk to you?" "Oh, sure. You know, my husband, he does this and this, and I want him to do this, and I told him to do it, and he doesn't do it." And the man says, "Can I ask you a question?" "Sure. How many times did you tell him?" "Well, once." "Just once?" "Once, that's all I should have to tell him." And he says, "I tell those ladies?" "No, you got to tell him more than once. I'm telling you, you got to tell him more than once." Yeah, you do. At least I have to be told more than once. In a good way. All right, so before the last point, to lighten it up a little bit, I read this deal. This little boy was attending his first wedding, and afterwards his mother asked him, "Son, do you know how many women a man is allowed to marry?" He said, "Sure, Mom, that's easy." "Well, how many?" He said, 16. She said, 16? How'd you get that?" He said, "Well, just like the preacher said, 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poorer. Do the math." Okay. Do the math. Last point, it is an unbreakable love, and it is. Verse 31, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And so that's God's original design. Yeah, are we sinful people? Yes. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Does God forgive? Yes. Thank God that he does. Thank God that he does. But our goal in life is we work through, and I've said this before, but you talk to any couple that's 50 years, 60 years, have there been challenges? Yeah. Rough spots? Yeah. But they work through it together. It takes that. There has to be forgiveness in marriage. How many times does God forgive us? How many times a day does God forgive us? And so we extend the same. That verse 33, the last part there, it says, "However, each one of you also must love his wife," that's the fourth time, "as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And you know what, ladies? We need that. We need it. It's how God made us. You need that love from us, and you need to know it, and we need to know that you still respect us and believe that you believe in us, even when we mess up, even when we make wrong decisions and choices. So we treat marriage with reverence and awe. Let's pray. Father, I thank you on this Mother's Day that you would help us as men and husbands to be what you've called us to be. Lord, we know we all fall very short. But help us to improve, Lord. Help us to think about this as we go about our days, how we can improve in this way, Lord, that we can be a blessing to our wives as leading spiritually in our homes. Thank you for all the marriages here represented today. I ask your blessing upon them, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon each and every home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now kiss your brides. Okay. Our last song is number 80. It's in the hymnal, number 80. You know it as a chorus too. I stand in awe of you. Let's stand. And this we sing to our Father. The words are so beautiful to this song. Let's sing it out with love to our God.
The depth of your love. You are beautiful beyond.
do stand in awe of our God and our Father. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, I know it's a little longer here. Hope I'm not messing up dinner plans. We sing God Bless America. May be seated. Thank you, Marina, for the beautiful music. Ladies, remember your flowers, carnation. Oh, and Harriet has a little magnet flower too. She's back there with a basket. Graduates, remember your flowers as well. They're in the social hall. Have a wonderful day.